Live from the podcast studio, this is From Long Distance to Marriage with Rich and Andrea. We're a once long distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and are now happily married.
We talk long distance, marriage and relationships.
Hello everyone, welcome to episode 29. This week we've had another request from a listener. So we're going to be talking about how you can... difficult balance, I suppose, of when you've moved away and it seems to your family like you've chosen your partner over them. So I think for this one, it's probably going to be you doing most of the talking because you're the one who moved away.
Yeah, and you've obviously got some insights on what I've done and how it works.
Yeah.
Yeah, so first off, like to apologise for both of us sounding like little kids with colds. Everyone in our town and surrounding areas seems to have this. So we're going to try to hold the sniffles and coughs to a minimum. Yeah, so this person asked, you know, said that she's going to be moving to be with her partner, and she doesn't want her family to feel like she's chosen him over them.
And then feeling left behind.
Which is a really hard one because depending on what your family's like and, you know, who the people are that you're related to, they're going to, I think... I can only speak from my experience. Everyone's been really supportive, but my mom in particular has had a really, really difficult time with it. My sister was great. I mean, she even texted me after she dropped, or we got dropped off the airport to actually move out here, and said, "I'm really sorry if I don't seem sad. I am sad. I'm going to miss you, but I'm just really happy that you guys are going to get to be together."
Well, your sister said something really interesting to me. This was...
Do I know this?
Yeah. This was after we'd gone back, but you'd moved here. And I was in the car with her. It was when they were booking... We had to go to the travel agent, so we were booking that cruise to Alaska.
Okay. And I was in the car. That was the first time we'd gone back. I don't know if I know this.
Yeah, I think you do. And I mentioned to her, like, that we just didn't want people to feel that you'd moved away because you weren't happy at home. And I can't remember exactly what she said, but it's basically, like, everyone's somewhat unhappy at home, otherwise, like, no one would move out.
Yeah.
Which is true. Like, everyone does... And I think, like, it's an important thing. Like, everyone does move out. Some people just go further.
Yeah.
So it's not like...
I suppose for my parents, particularly my mom, I think my dad was quite sad, but he was very supportive and happy for me.
Well, your dad was proud of you, too, that you could do it.
Yeah. But I suppose the difference is I was still living at home, and then I moved... 5,000 miles away. So it wasn't like, oh, she moved, you know, one town over, or she's got an apartment on the other side of town. Or you already moved out of home. Or I'd been living at home or out of home for a while or something. It was, she's here, she's been in our house for 24 years, and now she's moving 5,000 miles away. But in terms of, you know, how I try and make them still feel included, I make sure that every holiday... if you're trying to strike a balance, it's going to be really, really hard. I think it depends on how far the distance is. If you're only a few hours away, then you need to work hard with your partner and decide, okay, you know, this holiday, we're going to be with my family. And if you're a few hours away, obviously, you know, that's enough of a distance where you can't... It's like, say, Christmas. You can't spend Christmas Eve with one and then Christmas Eve with, you know, day
but it's also close enough that you can go and see them... On a weekend.
Yeah, or long weekend, you know, whatever you want. I mean, the distance and how much distance there is going to play a really big factor. For me, because there is so much distance, there isn't really a balance. You know, everything is shifted towards Rich's family in the sense that, you know, all the holidays, all of our birthdays, because they're here and it's nothing that his family's forcing or anything. We're here, you know, and we only get to go back to see my family because it's a 10-hour, 11-hour flight. Once a year, this year, a couple times because of family stuff. But I think if you're trying to strike a 50-50 balance, it's probably not going to happen unless your distance isn't that far, to be completely honest.
But I think it's also worth pointing out that this works both ways. So when you moved here, we didn't go back for a little while. And then when we did, you felt out of the loop.
Yeah.
So... I think, obviously, the people who are staying where they've always stayed, life goes on as normal, other than one person's not around as much. And then, it's easy for them to forget when that person comes back that it can feel very different. Like, oh, you've missed a few birthdays, you don't know the new in jokes, like that kind of thing. So it's worth a conversation. I think you feel better with that. That made you make more of an effort, I think, to keep in regular contact and things. But I think have the conversation with the family just to say, I know this is hard for you, but it's hard for me too. And have that chat about how you can stay sort of integrated.
Yeah. And, you know, there's going to be some difficult conversations because, like, my experience, I've found that with some family members, I don't really have the option of expressing that I miss them or that it's hard for me, because then I get told, well, then you should come back. Or not that I, no one ever really says you shouldn't have moved, but it's always, well, just come back then. And that's a really fruitless comment to make. I mean, what am I supposed to do? Oh, okay. Like, I think you just need to be prepared for some hurt feelings. I don't think most families, people don't want to hurt you, but it's sad. You know, people are going to be sad that you're moving and that you're going to be far away. But I think, kind of in line with what you said, there needs to be a conversation around, you know, I'm not choosing this person over you, but it is natural for, you know, like what my sister said to you, for people to move out, to start their own life, and everyone's life has different plans for them. And we pursue the things that mean the most to us typically. And, you know, it's natural. Some people go far away. Like there's not. Mm-hmm.
And like people don't only move away because they found someone. And I think parents need to bear this in mind. There's any number of reasons why their child could spend a prolonged period of time away from them. Like they could join the military, like they could
have a really good scholarship to a uni really far away,
they could become an astronaut, they could become like,
that is so weird. I was literally thinking about that last night. That is so weird. Like I was thinking about this, about my mom said something sometime, and I don't want people to think too harshly of this, but I don't think I've said this on the podcast before, but after I've been away for a few months, she redecorated my bedroom, and I was like, you're not supposed to do that, like you're supposed to keep it as a shrine. And she said, I couldn't go in there. Like, it just made me too upset to see all of your, you know, the way you had it decorated. I think she was using it as, like, a sewing room. And, like, going in there like that just made her too upset. And I was like, Mom, you're acting like I died. And she's like, that's kind of how it feels. Like, I don't think she...
What's that got to do with an astronaut?
Anyways, I was thinking about that statement and thinking, God, like, I could have become an astronaut. And then how would she feel? Like, I could have spent years in the space station.
Yeah, like and... Yeah, and it's true. Like, you think, well, I only went to another continent. I could be in space.
Yeah.
But there's like, so yeah, there's that. I mean, if you'd said to your parents, oh, I'm going to try to become a musician or an athlete, whatever, they probably won't have the same objections. But then you think, well, so if you're like a basketball player, they spend a lot of, like, they play games, like, most days of the week. They're traveling, they're out of state. Same thing, like, anyone who goes on tour, and I think is people often forget that most of that life isn't what you see on the court or the pitch or the stage or whatever. Like, it's on the bus, on the plane,
it's not as glamorous.
Like, they're away from home. So yeah, like, it's not, and I think it's just worth parents sort of bearing that in mind, is, okay, you're hurt that I've moved away to be with this person, but a lot of people end up spending prolonged periods away from home or big distances away from home for their careers. Like, okay, maybe there's a silver lining to the parents, I think, but those people are likely to come home, but they're probably not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I just think it's one of those ones where emotions obviously are the knee-jerk reaction, is how they feel.
Yeah, which is natural.
But if you can get to the point where you can have a sensible, mature conversation, it's worth them sort of being made to realise that, okay, yeah, it's not like everyone else's kids at home.
Yeah. And I think...
But on that point, when you're in that... when you're in the area where it's your job is taking you away from home, then you're also away from your own kids and your own spouse, let alone your parents. Like, you're completely on your own. So, like, then a lot more people are in that conversation of, oh, they're not around. Whereas if long-distance relationships, it's just, you know, that set of people that you've moved away from, and it's... Not that that makes it any easier, but... it's nuanced, I guess.
Yeah, maybe. But I think just because it's not possible to strike a 50-50 balance doesn't mean that, you know, you shouldn't try. I think, like we've been saying, you need to have conversations about, you know, start talking to your parents. Like, how often would you like me to visit? How often will you come visit me? You know, maybe we can, I think if you start planning a visit before you've even moved, that can be really a relief to family members. So they know when they're going to see you next. They know whether you're going there or they're coming to you.
I think, yeah, they want to know that you still care.
Yeah. And not even that. I think most people probably won't automatically think, oh, they're moving away, they don't care. It's just hard to deal with, and it's sad, but...
Yeah, but when people move away, it's very easy for them to sort of slip away
yeah.
a little bit. But I think, you know, the good thing about this is it can make you be more intentional with your time.
Yeah, I agree,
you
and I think...
You cherish it more, you make more of an effort to talk to them, and you know, we always talk about communication and technology. That's, you know, if you moved away 20 years ago, you'd have to, like... You'd be paying a lot of money for long-distance phone calls.
Well, I mean, even for me. So I moved away almost eight years ago this summer. It'll be 8 years. And at the time, FaceTime was pretty new. So I had to use Skype on my phone. And Skype phone calls at the time... Like, my parents didn't have Skype apps. I mean, they didn't even have smartphones at the time. They do now. But I had to, like, load up my Skype account with money...
Yeah.
And call their landline.
So it used to be expensive.
Yeah. I mean, it was cheap with Skype. It was only, you know, a couple dollars
for a call.
But you
paid for it. It's not like
that. And then I remember...
But then even before Skype, I'm talking when you had to call on the landline.
Oh, yeah.
It was
or write
really
letters
expensive.
And send telegrams.
And now, you know, you can FaceTime and have a video chat at the drop of a hat.
Yeah.
It does. It's not the same, obviously, but it does help.
Yeah. But yeah, I think definitely have a conversation. Always have a trip planned. And I think that's for your own well-being also. Because, like, for me... It doesn't take me very long to spiral into a real bad place of homesickness if I don't know when I'm going to see my family again. So, like, we just went for Christmas this past year. We're going in a couple weeks for my brother's wedding. And I'm already thinking, okay, not next Christmas, but the following Christmas, we're going to go back. So, I just always have in my mind, because we're going to have some people coming to visit us over next year. So, be nice for us to be able to take a break and, you know, not go out there. So... Yeah, I think always let them know what your plans are. Invite them. I think if you do have big events happening and the distance isn't too far, so say, for example, you get a job promotion and you're going out to celebrate, like, if it's something that can be planned a couple weeks ahead and they can be there for it, like, try to include them as much as you can. Otherwise, what I do when these things happen is I just make sure to schedule a FaceTime date. So, like, Christmases, when we're here in England, we're not with my family in America... We split our time between Rich's mom and stepdad and his dad and stepmom. So I just always make sure that I contact either my brother or my mom, someone who's always near their phone, because they're always all together at Christmas, and just say, right, when is everyone going to be together? Like, what time are you doing presents or whatever? And I make sure that whatever's happening with Rich's family, I step out, I go into a quiet room. Rich often comes with me for a little bit to say hello to everyone. And I just have a talk, you know, a FaceTime. I tell them what we've got for presents, what we've been up to, just as you normally would. So I just always make sure that we have special occasion dates. Same thing, like, for my nieces and nephews' birthday parties. You know, it's often really difficult to FaceTime in, but at least make sure that I try and talk to them on the day of their birthday. And you just try and find ways. I mean, I have a little ritual. I mean, with the time difference for me, when I'm leaving work, it's kind of mid to late morning in America. So I can talk to my... I call my mom and dad on the way home, you know, once or twice a week. I text with them. I send them things that make me think of them. Like, a little while ago, we went out to dinner to a restaurant that we don't go to very much, but we went to with my parents the last time they were here. And, you know, I just sent... We sat at the same table, and I sent my dad a picture. So I don't know. I mean, I just try and find little ways to let them know I'm thinking of them. And include them as much as I can. And also ask to be included. That's really important to me to feel included too. I think it's really good to worry about your family and be concerned about... Not worry, but, you know, be concerned and be aware of how it's going to affect them.
Well, yeah, and I think one of the other things is... the one concern they may have is how you're going to get back if you need to. And I think it can be reassuring to them if you're able to have enough money in an account for... whatever means it is to get back, you know, for a lot of people that's going to be a plane ticket. But if you can say to them, look, I've always got the money for a flight saved up, so if I need to get back,
I've always got an empty credit card or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
just a bit reassuring to them that you're not completely scared. And that also works as, you know, if it all goes wrong, you're able to get home again.
Yeah. And something else you can do is, you know, if you have a guest room at your house where, or your apartment, wherever it is you're living with your partner once you've moved, you know, show them, oh, look, I want you to visit and I got this bedding. I thought you'd really like it. Or I've decorated it in a way that I know you'll feel comfortable. So I think it's making them aware that they have a place in your home, even though you're far away. I mean, you know, we still have a place in my family's homes and, you know, that means a lot to me. But I think it's important to not forget about how you're going to feel through this process, because that's what you're going to be faced with. Obviously, once you leave, you know, apart from when you talk to your family, you're not going to see it every day. You're not going to feel what they feel, but you are going to be hyper aware of how you're feeling. And it is scary. It is upsetting. And it is really, really hard. So I would suggest, I think we've touched on this in other episodes, you know, having a plan for what you're going to do for yourself when you're feeling upset. I mean, sometimes for me, if I'm feeling really, really homesick, you'd think, okay, schedule a call or just call someone back home. But sometimes that makes me feel even worse. Sometimes it's exactly what I need. So you just need to have a few ideas of what you're going to do and how you're going to handle that. Like this week, I was feeling a bit down after a long day at work, and I tried calling several of my family members and no one could talk. And it really, really, really bummed me out. And so I came home and did, you know, watch a favorite show and just did little things to be gentle with myself. And I think you need to have an action plan for that. And also let your partner know what you're going to need from them. And that's something that I tried really hard to do from the beginning in terms of letting Rich know this is going to be hard. You're going to have a lot more of a job cut out for you than, you know, just a normal guy in a normal relationship would. I mean,
that's a good point. Like, obviously all the focus goes to the person moving, but for the person who's taken on that sort of responsibility, I don't think everyone's cut out for that.
Yeah, it's a lot of work, and
it's not just a lot of work. Like, it's not,
I don't mean that in a bad way.
There's a degree of there's more work. There's also things like it's not like having a normal relationship in the sense that, as you said, we have to plan to go back fairly regularly, which costs money and it takes time. So it means if we're going away more often than not, it means we'll go back and see your family. It means if you're visiting that country, then you can be fine. And that's all good, don't get me wrong, but I don't think it's going to be for everyone. You've also got the emotional aspects, like you said, when you're in that dark place, I'm your support here. And if so, you know, when you do move, like if you're not, if you haven't integrated into that place, you haven't made friends or developed a network, then you're relying on one person, which is hard. You can't expect your boyfriend to be your girlfriend, and you can't expect your girlfriend to be your boyfriend. Like, people play different roles. But there's an emotional
responsibility
that I don't think it needs to be dwelled on before, but both of you need to think, is that person up for that task? And you need to think for yourself, am I up for that task? Am I going to be able to step up to that?
And you know,
you
kind
of learn as you go, don't you?
Yeah, you may not be up to it straight away, but if, you know,
it's something you need to be willing to take on. You're willing to do it, you grow into it, and it comes with practice and experience. But if you're thinking like, it kind of forces you to be mature. But if you're, you know, we see a lot of the people who are in long distance who are very young.
Yeah.
And I think the younger you are, the harder it is, because it just takes a level of maturity that I think often just comes with sort of age and experience. So not to anyone off, but just be aware of it. Just think, I'm going to need to depend on that person, and that person's going to depend on me at those moments, and are we happy about that?
And you may not be happy about it all the time. I mean, let's face it, if long distance was easy, there wouldn't be a whole support community on every social media platform for it. We wouldn't have a podcast about it.
Well,
like,
I think the bigger picture to this point is that you end up trading everyone currently in your life, your friends and your family and whoever, and you kind of swap them all for potentially one person, and that's huge.
Yeah, and it's something I've said before, that just because you're closing the distance with your long-distance partner doesn't mean that long-distance relationships are not a part of your life anymore, because now your entire family and all of your friends back home become those long-distance relationships. And you're going to need to find a way to maintain that. I mean, in a lot of ways, the sort of effort that you were putting into your long-distance relationship with your partner, some of that effort is now going to shift into your family. I think for me personally, at first, I spoke to my family almost daily. And then after maybe a couple months, I really toned it down. And I think part of that was because it was hard to maintain just talking all the time. It was inconvenient with the time change. But I'm also a little bit glad I did it, because it gave me some time to plant my feet and, you know, get myself into a routine here and, you know, just kind of find my life here. And then, as Rich said, after we went back to visit for the first time, I kind of realized how out of the loop I felt. And then I could kind of see, from having done constant contact to not enough, you know, what my happy medium was and where I was comfortable. So yeah, I think you just need to find how much contact is going to feel right for you and for your family. What do they need? You know, I mean, dads, maybe they don't need to hear from you every single day or every couple of days, but moms might need to hear from you a little bit more.
I think it's not just the frequency, it's what you're telling them. So, like, if something happens to you, good or bad, tell them. Like, yeah. Keep them involved. And don't just check and say, hi, how are you, I just wanted to talk. Like, that's all good, but
yeah,
let them know that you still think of them when you've got news to share.
Yeah, and that you still need them. I mean, just this week I called my parents up about something that was troubling me and I wanted some advice on, and it felt really good to talk to them. And I'm sure it was nice, you know, they don't have any kids at home anymore. My brother and sister don't really need them anymore in terms of advice and stuff. And, you know, I needed them, and, you know, it was probably nice for them to feel needed too. So, yeah, definitely talk to them when something happens or when you're having a hard time with work or school or whatever it is. That's going to go a long way in making them feel still included and like they're part of things that are happening in your everyday life, which is probably what the big concern is. You know, that obviously they'll still talk to you, they'll still see you sometimes, but it's, you're not going to have that, maybe not day to day if you didn't live at home anymore, but certainly if you even still in the same town, you know, going shopping with your mom, you know, having barbecue at your parents' house, you know, those things. Yeah, things
are different. Like, when we went back for Christmas, we had a big family day out where we went to Universal Studios.
Yeah.
Like, we'd never done that before, and it's just a different, you know, it's quality time. It's not the same as all being at the house or going to the movie theatre or whatever. It's, that's like a really big experience that everyone got to enjoy. So it doesn't have to be like that specific thing. It doesn't have to be particularly expensive, but, you know, it's something where you make new memories and you share a different experience together. And I think when there is that distance, it kind of aligns everyone to think we need to make the most of this time.
Yeah. And I think also we touched a few minutes ago on kind of the person in the relationship that's not moving. So, for instance, like, the Rich of your relationship, that person also needs to be aware that, I think it can be a bit scary for that person. You know, if your partner's moved to where you are and suddenly they're sad and they're saying, you know, this is really hard, I don't know if I can do this, you're going to have moments where you feel like that. And the person who hasn't moved needs to be really strong and not get too alarmed by that and think, like, oh my God, they want to leave, or, you know, they don't love me enough, I'm not doing enough. I mean, you need to be supportive, but you also need to know that they just need to feel what they're going to feel, and a homesickness is a big part of that. So, I think that's just something that people need to bear in mind, but it's hard, it's
lots. I think ultimately it's something that everyone has to carve out their own way of doing it.
But yeah, but really it comes down to be really open and communicative with your family before you're leaving. Include them in some of the decision-making, you know, like if they can come and help you, the two of you pick out apartment or, you know, whatever it is, include them in it as much as you can.
Even if it's advice you don't really need.
Yeah.
Like, just, oh, we're decorating, like, what would you do?
Yeah.
Like, whatever it might be, but you're never going to take the advice. It just it's you reaching out and just saying, look, yeah, we still need you, in a nice way.
Yeah, and I think also try and find ways to show them that you're building a happy life for yourself, not in a rub it in their face kind of way, but, you know, for instance, my mom really likes home improvement and decorations and stuff, and so when we do nice things to our house, I always send her updates and pictures, and this is what we're picking out, I'm looking for this, what do you think, like, should we do blinds, or should we do curtains, or what, you know?
Yeah, and I think it's important for them to see that you're having a good life.
Yeah.
If you've moved away, and then they see you living, like, in squalor, I'm like, oh, they've moved, and they're in...
Squalor.
They're in, like, a drug pit, and I'm really worried about them.
Well, then they have a reason to be, if that's the situation.
Yeah,
well,
yeah, or even if they just see that you're really struggling, or... you know, things aren't really working out, they're going to have all these concerns and worries. If they can say, oh yeah, they've moved, it's hard, but they're building a really nice life out there, and they're having these experiences, and they got the job that they want, and whatever. Let them see you're building a nice life that they can be proud of.
I'm getting really emotional.
You are?
Yeah.
Aye.
I was just thinking about a speech that my dad made at our engagement party. I think we've talked about this a little bit in a previous episode. Like, well, this is something else you can do for maybe more extended family. So with our visa restrictions, I applied for a 6-month fiancé visa, which meant that I could be in the country for 6 months without having to leave or anything. But in that time, we had to be engaged. We had to get married. So because we were doing this all so quickly... I knew that a lot of my extended family and family friends and, you know, people that I'd known my entire life, my parents' friends and stuff and their families wouldn't be able to come. So we did a really big engagement party the week before we moved out here at my sister's house. It was catered. We all dressed up. It was a little bit fancy. And it was really, really nice to be able to do that and have some special quality time like that that we would have at a wedding that those people couldn't attend. And my dad made a speech and he said how, you know, they were going to miss me and it, you know, it's not, he didn't say it in a bad way, but along the lines of, you know, it's not the situation that you necessarily want. But Andrea is finally happy. And, you know, I've talked a lot about my mental health and how I've had lots of struggles with anxiety and depression throughout my whole life. And it's something my family's really supported me with and wanted to help me with my whole life. And I just remember my dad, when he said, you know, Andrea's going to be happy now, he looked at me with real purpose. And there was a lot of meaning behind that look that, like, you know, you found someone that balances you. And I did, you know, Rich, basically, I mean, I still struggle, but anyways, our relationship gives me some balance that I missed before. Sorry, this topic, I found it a lot more emotional to talk about than I thought I would. But yeah, you just need to be really open and communicate with your family and find ways to include them that mean a lot to them and mean a lot to you. Like Rich said, there's no real playbook for this. It's going to be different depending on your family situation. But it basically just takes effort, like any relationship. And especially, like I said, that all these other relationships, these family and friends, those become your long-distance relationships. So you do have to be more intentional and thoughtful with making those people feel included. And it's worth it because you never know. You might end up, maybe you and your partner will end up moving back to your hometown one day and being near your family, or maybe it won't work out and you end up going home and you still want those relationships. You don't want it to feel like you haven't missed a beat, as much as possible. That's not always possible, but you know, just stick your foot in the door as much as you can and say, nope, we need to FaceTime on this special occasion, whatever. Just stand up for yourself and make sure that you're included and make sure your family stands up for themselves when they're feeling a bit like, oh, we haven't heard from you, and try not to feel like everyone's guilt tripping you. I mean, I really struggled with that with my mom at first, and I think Rich struggled with it even more than I did. I mean, I struggled with it emotionally, but I think it really frustrated you. But the more you got to know my mom, you know that she just was having a hard time. Her baby moved away and she didn't know how to deal with that. So be patient, be loving, and it will work out, but just make that effort, show that they still matter, and make sure they have a place in your life day to day as much as you can, really.
Yeah.
And don't ask me questions anymore that are gonna make me cry. First time crying on the podcast.
Will it be the last?
Probably not. I'm pretty emotional.
But hopefully this has been helpful. So we do... We've had a few requests that we've done now.
Yeah, we've got another one next week, don't we?
We might do.
I think
so,
we still had a couple.
So
yeah, I hope this helps. If you have specific questions, you know, please let us know.
Yeah, we'll try and cover them.
Yeah, or if you have any tips, if you've closed the distance that you found really helpful, you'd like to share to the wider long distance community, please let us know.
Yeah, we'll probably do a blog post about this topic. So
I think so.
If you have any tips or advice or feedback, whatever, let us know if you want to have that included.
We can work on the blog.
Yeah, so keep them coming. And then, so this person who requested this found us on iTunes. So thanks to anyone who's left us a review so far. And it does really help us get found. So if
please leave more.
Please leave more. Yeah, so is that it? Till next week?
Pretty much. I'd like to apologise for the kind of radio silence on Instagram this week while we've both been pretty ill. We'll try and rectify that this week with some good posts.
Yeah.
And hopefully we won't be so snotty next week.
Hopefully.
All right, thanks, guys.